Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, myself and Tommy Dreamer on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday talk about the big appearance of Triple H tonight on SmackDown. How will he address the WWE Universe? Also, we talk about the week that was from WrestleMania to now as we spar with our good friend Justin Labar from Wrestling Inc. right now on the Busted Open Podcast. As a wrestling fan, you know it's hard. All the blood, the sweat, the tears, the chairs. It's a hard day out there. And do you know what tastes incredible after a hard day in the ring? A Mike's Hard Lemonade. You get all hot and bothered, and then you can cool off with an ice-cold hard lemonade. Since day one, Mike's Hard Lemonade has been making lemonade the hard way. They take three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, and cold-press them to create a taste like no other. They choose to do things the hard way because they know hard days deserve a hard lemonade. That's why for 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. Find now in store. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium malt beverage with flavors. Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/busted50 and use code BUSTED50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BUSTED50 at factormeals.com/busted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. one thing we need to talk about, Tommy, and it's a big one. It's what everyone's talking about right now, and that is Triple H. Triple H announced that he was addressing the WWE Universe on Monday, which he did on Raw, pretty much just saying, hey, everything's going to stay the same. Like, you know, he didn't say specifically what he was talking about, but everybody knew what he was talking about because they all had heard by that point that Vince McMahon was back. But now another announcement that Triple H once again is going to address the WWE Universe tonight on SmackDown. What do you think he's going to be talking about tonight on SmackDown?
I have no clue. If you think about it, number one, maybe it's kind of the same thing that he said, because we have experienced this. There are people that it's a whole other network and it's a whole other brand. You can't always picture that people just watch Raw or just watch SmackDown or just like same that watch NXT. So maybe it's going to be a similar type of announcement. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully it's something bigger, because if Triple H appears, he should be saying something concrete. And because he is special, he's a special performer, but he's also, you know, for a while, he's been the behind the scenes guy for WWE. Hopefully it's a positive. I don't think WWE cares in that world of trying to put a Band-Aid on what people perceived, was going to be a bad Raw, because they don't think in that way. And again, like I honestly got to say, on the day and the ratings were up. So if people were that, oh, this show is so horrible, why are you continuing watching it? When Vince came back, Vince said, this is best for the shareholders, and that's for business. If you are a shareholder, that's why I say I still have one share. I sold a lot of my shares a long time ago, because it was financially a smart thing to do. If I would have held on to it a little bit longer, I would have been a lot richer. But how do you say that it's a wrong decision or this person doing it, when the person literally made $9 billion on his $1 million investment?
Yeah.
So it's hard to say that coming off of, because in my opinion, if you think that Vince McMahon hasn't been, his hand in WWE for a bit, it wasn't like, yes, he did step down, but, you know, WrestleMania had his fingerprints on it as well. And WrestleMania was a hell of a show. So don't so much discredit the person. Like I said, I think there's a lot more negatives out there than there are positives. WrestleMania was a good show. You got to have faith and trust in the process. Because if it does start to suck, like at one point it really did, it was hard to watch. Dave, you were very outspoken. Why you're outspoken? Because we love it. Why is everybody who listens to the show so outspoken? Because we love it. We love the WWE. We love pro wrestling. We want everybody to strive and succeed. If it does get bad, what's going to happen? Your stock will fall. People will start tuning out. You won't get as much money for your product. Then change will be made. But until then, I mean, I support it. I support everybody. And it's kind of a wait and see. You can't like go crazy and want to like riot all that stuff on literally one television show, which you're talking to two people that enjoyed it. And I understand why they are going the way they are. They're taking your number one guy who got screwed out of the world title that everybody loved, taking him away with one of the biggest stars in professional wrestling of all time. And now who knows where Roman is going. And Roman has to make his addresses, because trust me, you're going to take that person far around the lake when all they're going to do is eventually swim right across and go right back to where that lake is supposed to be. And that is the world title.
I hope, we'll find out, because again, I think, you know, don't get me started about what took place in the main event of WrestleMania, because you had a moment and now they're going to be chasing that moment. Can they capture that moment again that you had right in your hands on Sunday night? We'll see over the course of the next year, Tommy, because it's going to be very, very hard to recapture a moment. But let's just talk about it. And you're right. I liked Monday Night Raw. Overall, I liked WrestleMania. But let's just look at public perception. And you say that they don't care about public perception, and you may be right at that, but we are going to hear from Triple H tonight. But let's face it, Tommy, can you remember this kind of a backlash for WrestleMania? I mean, there were a lot of people upset about that main event on Sunday night, right or wrong. Trending when it came to WrestleMania was awful and terrible, and you don't want those things trending. You know, the WWE is all about trends and social media output. How do I know? Because they tout it each and every Monday and Friday. Well, when it came to WrestleMania, the word terrible and the word awful were trending along with WrestleMania after Sunday night. And then you look at Raw, and those two words were trending again when it came to Monday Night Raw. Perception is sometimes reality. I can't remember a time, Tommy, where people were so upset coming out of a WrestleMania and people were so upset coming off of a Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. But that is what we are hearing, you know, from the fan base coming off those two nights.
Okay. You said last segment, one of the greatest WrestleMania matches you've ever seen of all time.
Agreed.
But yet you didn't like the finish because your guy didn't win. That's a big difference. Monday is a whole other animal. But then I also say, here's your proof. The ratings went up. So how do you go and tell somebody that this show sucked? You can. You could scream it on your lawn. You could put billboards on your front lawn. You could do whatever. You could get something trending. And getting something trending isn't hard to do because you could set up there could be people with a million accounts. And then that algorithm just kicks in. Anyway, how can you say it was bad when these are things? How can you say when you look at the growth of, you know, WrestleMania, the numbers that they promote, just because it was the finish that you didn't like, but it was designed to do what? Give you heat. It's like going to a scary movie and say, oh my God, I literally pissed and shit my pants. That movie was so scary. How dare they scare me so much? You went to a horror film. They cut up a person's eyes. They went across eyeball to eyeball, down his nose, through. I saw the inside of a person's mouth. It's disgusting. People, it's called heat. And I also think, like I used the reference before, guys, I remember being so mad how me and Taz bonded. I walked up to my television and I punched it as a kid when Larry Zbysko broke a chair over Bruno Sammartino's head. What do you think would have happened today if that happened? How dare they do that to a legend? How dare they do that to somebody who's been fired or retired? Just because, like, if I could use it in modern day terms, how about go stand in the streets of Philadelphia after the Super Bowl wearing a Chiefs jersey? You're happy if you're a Chiefs fan. You're not happy if you were an Eagles fan.
I get that. And listen, I agree with what you're saying too, Tommy. But you also have to factor in now that Vince McMahon is in charge of creative. You know, that Vince McMahon is back. He even said in an interview, I don't get caught in the weeds, but the top stories I'll be involved with, which we know that he's involved with all creative, because Paul, our producer, pointed out to me the last time there was a discussion about this, it was the same exact thing. He used the exact terminology, actually, when he was talking about creative, Tommy. And that's the perception. Again, Tommy, I'm the one that came on the air Tuesday morning and I said, you know what? I liked Raw. But people now know that Vince McMahon is back. And you're right, Tommy. Did I think every Monday Night Raw was great over the last 8 months? No. Did I think every decision was the right decision? No. I mean, how many times did I come on the air on a Tuesday and complain about damage control? I mean, they spent a lot of time on damage control and that went nowhere. But did I think Raw was consistent and consistently at least good? 100%. Were there any Raws over the last 8 months that were awful? There weren't. But I could name a ton of Raws before that were awful. It's just like the last caller said before the break, Tommy. Fans are afraid. They know where we've been before, and they're nervous about where it might be headed with Vince McMahon back in charge of creative.
Correct. And I've already given what you have to do if you hate it so much. That would be saying, I hate Raw so much, I'm going to sell my stock. Well, don't know if that's a right business move for you because their stock is really high right now. Yeah, but I hate it. Okay, so then, you know, go do it. And then, like, the stock goes up. I sold my stock, I believe it was at, like, 74. And I had gotten it for, like, 24. So it was a big, big financial thing. Would I have loved to have sold it at 100? Yes. But, and I didn't sell it because I didn't like the WWE. I sold it because it was a great business move for me and my family. But I kept one share of stock. I encourage everyone to go buy one share of stock. So then you actually have more of a valid point to be pissed off at the WWE, because then guess what? You're a shareholder. And you then do legally have a right to say something. And then if you hate it so much, how is change going to happen? But it's, you're literally coming off of like the biggest two successful nights in the company's
history. I know. Everything was up.
So, you know, it's, you just got to give it time. What's this guy going to say? Who the hell knows? If he comes in tonight and says, and this would never happen, I'm stepping down or I'm leaving, that ain't going to happen, because guess what? Vince didn't even get to say goodbye to his own company when he had to step down. He's probably going to give either a rah-rah speech or who knows what he's going to talk about. But you got to trust the process. You really do.
I mean, that's what they say. Could it be that Triple H is going to come on SmackDown tonight and announce a big show in the UK on August 27th? Mm. Mega Clash at the Castle, August 27th in the UK? What do you think?
That would be, like I said yesterday, maneuvering the tanks.
You know? That Mega Clash at the Castle, August 27th in the UK.
You remember the Kamala video when Kamala was walking through the weeds? Somebody should do a video of Vince with his mustache walking through
the weeds.
And then he puts his face out there and he looks creative.
Yeah. But, well, yeah, they kept saying all through that, Umanga, Kamala. The Ugandan giant, Kamala. The Ugandan, they should just say, Vince McMahon, head of creative, in the weeds. Vince McMahon, creative. Vince McMahon. We'll see what Triple H has to say tonight on SmackDown, Tommy. It's going to be interesting.
Yes, it will be.
This is former UFC champion Chris Weidman. Do you want to feel what it's like to get in the octagon with me? Right now, we are bringing the hardest-hitting MMA talk on the planet to your podcast feeds with Won't Back Down, a SiriusXM podcast. Every Monday, I'm speaking my mind and taking you inside combat sports like no one else. Every tap, every snap, and whatever else is on my mind. Download Won't Back Down right now on SiriusXM, Stitcher, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast. Won't Back Down.
Let's bring in our good friend, Justin Labar. Justin, how are you, my friend?
Good to be talking with you guys after we've all had quite the week of wrestling excitement and drama.
I didn't get home from my flight from LA till well past. I didn't get home till well past midnight. So I did not watch Raw on Monday night. And I was off of my phone, off of social media. I woke up first thing on Tuesday and I watched Raw. And I didn't know all the drama that was going on with Vince McMahon. I watched Raw, and I got to tell you, I liked Raw. I didn't hate it. I liked the way it started. I liked the way that it ended. And I was very surprised when I turned on my phone and saw all the backlash. Let me ask you, Justin, do you think that had to do with the show itself, or are fans just worried knowing that Vince McMahon is back and Vince McMahon is back involved in creative?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, right? I mean, I was watching live, and I had tweeted, or I did a series of tweets earlier in the day, because earlier in the day, you know, we learned that, okay, like, Endeavor is, you know, that's the sale that's happening. And so, like, one of my tweets was, you know, all things considered, coming off of this mania and this sales happening, and, you know, now this is the first show that they're going to produce after, you know, putting out a press release announcing the sale. I'm like, you know, this could be maybe the biggest Raw ever in terms of, you know, what it can mean or in terms of direction or what, you know, it's a reset of their calendar anyways. And, you know, I made me think back to 01 of when Shane was on Nitro. It's like, you know, maybe since then this could be the biggest. So I felt, and I can't be the only one, I feel like we all kind of had this certain expectation, never mind that it's the Raw after Mania, but just this feeling of this is a big deal. And then, yeah, you watch it live and I agree with you. The opening was good and the ending was good. Your two most important segments. But in between that, it was lull, and not even just lull for the night after Mania. If it was a show in July, it was kind of lull and the pacing was a little odd. And I think other fans also, you know, not this, not so much to me. I don't like need a million surprises or call ups from NXT or what have, but I think the lack of that, certainly that's something that for some people that is a key criteria in the Raw after Mania, is they want to have surprises. They want returns. They want call ups. And that just wasn't a big part of the show. So, you know, and then, yeah, you factor in if you were on the internet and you're hearing about Vince being there, and you're hearing about late rewrites. And again, when I talk about the pacing and what have you, the show that kind of comes off that way, it kind of comes off a little disorganized or a little not as intentional as shows have been feeling in previous months under Triple H's direction, you know, where they felt like, man, they've had this plan for a couple weeks, or they're advertising this a couple weeks out. Like, it did feel a bit chaotic, which is not what you want to feel for what's supposed to be one of your most important shows of the year.
Understood. And I think that's going to be something that's just going to play out now. I think the big show too is going to be this Monday night and what the ratings will be for this Monday night. And if there is any backlash from what happened over the weekend. And speaking of over the weekend, obviously a lot of people still talking about it, myself especially, on how how night number two of WrestleMania ended between Cody and Roman Reigns. Are they going to be chasing that moment, Justin? Like, you know, is because the moment was there. The crowd was ready for it. Tommy, Bully, Mark especially have all been saying to me, cool down. This is just the beginning. This story is going to build. But I have that feeling in the back of my mind that they're always going to be chasing the moment that was right in front of them on Sunday night. Your thoughts?
I've had a bit of a journey with this one. So going into this show, going into night two, I fully predict. I mean, I was very convinced that, you know, Cody's going to win. Kind of like what you're saying. I felt you have lightning in a bottle. You have something, you know, the most recent, even close, it's not even as much. The most recent thing I could even try to equate it to is, I think around 2017, I thought they had something with Braun and that Braun Strowman should have beat Brock. I thought that there was something organic there and they didn't. But this to an even greater scale and to what Roman's done, and you'd be, you know, dethroning him. So I was shocked in the moment. I was like, I think they missed it. That Sunday night, I wasn't sitting well with it. Slept on it, thought about it, had some conversations with people trying to get stuff out in the air, trying to hear other perspectives. And the more I thought on it, he could chase. He could, you know, now he's going to have to deal with Brock. And Cody could have an even greater journey within WWE. You know, he came back from WWE, has three matches against Seth Rollins, gets hurt, wins the Rumble, and has the Road to Mania. I mean, relatively speaking, it hasn't been a lot in WWE, you know, just because he was injured for so much time. But they could try to make it to where he goes through more mountains, more hurdles, and they could try to make this an even bigger deal when he gets to Roman. Of course, the risk is there that maybe they lose it. Maybe they do lose a moment. Maybe the crowd revolts. Maybe it's, let's go, Cody. Cody sucks. Who knows? But I can see them trying to build and make the anticipation even greater. I can also see, okay, so if he wins against Roman at Mania, what next? Are you going to have Seth Rollins challenge him and go 0-4 against him? You're not gonna line Gunther or Austin Theory up to automatically just go ahead and lose to Cody. So I kind of wonder also, okay, if Cody wins right in this moment, what does the playing field look like for him moving forward as a champion? And then finally, I guess also, I think this is a factor, this sale has been something that's been going on for months. I could also see an argument being made that business is up. Business has been up under Roman Reigns. People are going to be looking at WWE's metrics closer than ever because of this, you know, sale happening for several billion dollars. So I could see an argument of, let's stick with what we know. We know that Roman as champion is delivering this. It is always a bit of a risk when you go to a first-time champion, which Cody would be. I'm talking world champion, not anything else in WWE. When you go to a first-time champion babyface, You know, it is always a risk. You don't know. The moment might be great. That lightning in the bottle moment might be great. Then when the crowning happens at the end of the match, but is he gonna? Are the house show business gonna stay up? Is TV gonna stay up? So, you know, I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it because again, Roman now is trekking towards 1,000 days, and that's pretty freaking remarkable.
So. Yeah. And you mentioned about this sale and then the merger with the UFC with, you know, an endeavor over all these brands. It's going to be a lot of change, I would think, in the WWE, Justin. TV rights are expiring. I think their streaming service contract with Peacock ends in 2026. So we're going to see a lot of change in the structure of the WWE moving forward, it looks like.
Yeah, we will. I mean, the thing that makes me the saddest is whenever these things happen, inevitably there's downsizing. Inevitably there's redundancy. You know, we have too many people to do the same job, and so that kind of sucks because there's going to be people that are going to lose in the office probably that are going to lose. I would imagine. I'm just purely speculating based off
that. That 100% happens if one company is taking it over. Well, we have an accounting department. Yes, we have an accounting department in WWE. We have an accounting department for UFC. They're going to be two separate entities. But, hey, Endeavor has an accounting department.
Yeah.
So instead of five people, we need now two.
Right.
Because we have the other people already there. That will happen. Listen, the changes that will happen immediately. First, it'll be the office. Then it'll be talent. If they are making those changes. It's inevitable. Why? Because it's a new management coming in the sense of a new company. Why do I need these people if they're literally sitting on the bench? Why do I need to pay these people? That happens. I just want to go back to something that you said, Mr. LaBar. I was in creative when Stephanie McMahon kicked open that door and said, we have no opponent for Triple H at WrestleMania. So she really did say it like she was cutting a promo. And I raised my hand because I felt like I was at school. And I said, what about Rob Van Dam? And there was all these signs for Rob. Rob Van Dam was super duper hot. I mean, he was hot. And they were like, they weren't feeling it. And that's when they went with Triple H and Booker T. I felt and that Rob Van Dam was hotter than Booker T. Did that take away from Rob Van Dam's hotness? No. And again, I talk timeline. Same with Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy was super duper hot until they finally had to tell the higher ups, he's outselling everybody on his merch. All right, let's make Jeff Hardy the champ. Daniel Bryan is my best example. Dude, Daniel Bryan was hot as can be. And when he lost, people were like, what? And guess what happened? He even got hotter. So I'm not worried about the trajectory of Cody. And that capturing lightning in a bottle, you made a great sense in the sense of, and I said it from day one. Well, when people ask me predictions, I love the fact that I could not predict who was the winner. Gave, and I'm talking business-wise, but gave points of why it could be Cody, why it could be Roman. But then in the back of my head, and you said it the best, well, we're already doing great business with Roman and then bigger things. And you're a sports guy like myself. Stats. Think of the chase. You're friggin' wearing a Baltimore Orioles hat right now as we speak. Think about the streak with Cal Ripken. And when the Orioles were not the biggest draw, what were they going for? That friggin' streak. That statistical number. You also have new people coming in. You have all this other things. That's a landmark draw. We did it with Josh Alexander. We told people he's about to beat Bobby Roode, who's the longest reigning champion. That is a thing. That's a sports geek thing. That's also a wrestling thing. And then it's like, can he be the guy to beat Bob Backlund? Can he be the guy to beat a Bruno Sammartino? These are things in our world. You know, we talk about how everything's sped up in our world. But the other part of it is, really, how many wrestling matches does Roman Reigns have a year? As opposed to the defenses of a Bruno Sammartino and a Bob Backlund. These are achievable numbers, especially, and I know you're a fan of it, and so is Dave, storyline and creative fuels this industry. I don't give a shit if you're the greatest two wrestlers in the world. We can only watch the greatest two wrestlers in the world wrestle for so much. You need a storyline driven. This is a creative driven industry. Always has been, always will be. And you have that storyline. Think of the storylines that we've had throughout this already with the Bloodline, with Paul Heyman. Maybe he was doing the stuff with Brock, with the Usos, with you know, how many times are they going to split away? We've had with Drew McIntyre. We've had such great stuff where the guy who's not wrestling every single day, with a guy who's wrestling, he's a pay-per-view draw. When we say acknowledge me, fuck, how do we not? Because you have done so much for this industry. If I was to walk into a WWE locker room and I saw Roman Reigns, someone that I've known since he was a little kid, I would walk up to him and say, hey, thank you for the house. Thank you for everything that you're doing for this industry. And again, I've known him since he was a kid because of his brother, who I was great friends with, but also, like, you know, his father. But this guy is carrying the industry on his back. So how, if you're a business person, like you said, and it was a great point by you, do I make this change right now? Look at the numbers. Look what we just bought for $9.1 billion. How much are your Washington Commanders going for?
Six.
Yeah, great. Think of that. These are heavy, heavy things to think about when you're talking about, you know, and again, I love Dave LaGreca. I love him. He's my brother. And I get that he's pissed because Cody didn't win. But I still feel Dave LaGreca is going to go and he's going to watch if Cody's back in that main event, SummerSlam, WrestleMania, unless producer Paul put it out there, Cody versus Omos for next year.
But again, my point is this. You just said, let's just say it's Roman and Cody at SummerSlam. That moment is not going to be as big as the moment we just saw on Sunday. You just said if we get Cody and Roman at next year's WrestleMania, that's a big if. Also, are the fans going to feel the same way next year as they did this past Sunday? You're going to be chasing that moment.
Daniel Bryan.
But
call him one fucking thing, by the way.
We'll call him one thing. But all right. Let's just say, all right, Bryan Danielson.
Stop changing your name.
He lost. He didn't lose at WrestleMania. He won at WrestleMania. He didn't lose at WrestleMania. Cody lost at WrestleMania. This is one of the very few times where WrestleMania ended on a downer. What other WrestleMania ended on a downer? Sunday did. 17, maybe, with Stone Cold turning.
I was there. That wasn't a downer. I'll tell you what's the
Undertaker losing.
But that wasn't in the main event.
But it was a downer. Nobody talked about. I didn't even know what the main event of that night was.
It was Bryan Danielson. That proves your point. It was Bryan Danielson winning, holding both those titles up in the air.
Yeah. Mania 27 in Atlanta. Miz versus Cena with Rock there on the outside, and Miz retained. That was a bit of a, you know, I don't know. I know the whole point was
Mr. T versus Roddy Piper.
Yeah, but I mean, but in the eyes of the WWE, it didn't end on a downer.
I know, but it was for the live house. It was horrible.
They didn't put smiles on people's faces on Sunday night. I'll just tell you that.
Say that to the shareholders when your stock went up. It's now over 100. When I believe it was at 80.
You know what? It would have been more if Cody was your champ. Just saying.
Back to the sale price, actually. Vince wanted
He's Dave. The best.
Vince wanted $9 billion, but Endeavor bought 51%. So wouldn't that mean that Endeavor probably only had to pay what, like $4.5 billion then? Would that be correct? If the shareholder still owed 49%.
Nice. Didn't even think of that. So it would have went for $18.1 billion. God, that would be amazing.
No, I'm saying if Vince wanted $9 billion, but they only bought 51% of it. Wouldn't that mean they only had to pay 51% of $9 billion, so like 4.5?
No, they paid 9.1.
I don't know. We need Mike Rotunda to come on and explain it to us because I don't know.
It's a lot of freaking money.
It is a lot of money. All right, Justin, and we're keeping you a little bit longer than we usually do. Triple H is going to address the WWE Universe tonight. What do you think? I mean, we just heard from Triple H on Monday. What could he possibly be saying tonight on SmackDown?
I don't think he's going to say anything much more than what he said Monday, which is ironic because we all kind of laughed when Vince had those random appearances in the summer just before he retired, and he appeared like two or three times in a row and again did like the same. I actually think Triple H, I don't think it's going to be much. I think it's going to be, again, just a morale, both a morale to the locker room, both a morale to the fans, because there's just a lot of chatter and things going on social and otherwhere. I just think it's just going to be a, hey, we are still here. I think it's just going to be more the same of Mondays. Unless it's to start some angle, not so much with him, but unless it's to kick off some storyline angle or something that between somebody. And again, I don't really think he's going to be the focal point. I don't think he wants to be the focal point, but unless he's somehow a marker that just can give a reason for somebody to come out and then somebody, whatever. But I don't think it's going to be anything dramatic. Like, I don't think he's going to make any sweeping announcement or declaration. I think it's still more of them now forever together.
Yeah. What if he says for them now together forever and for everyone on Twitter, except for Monday?
Actually, a very good impersonation of Triple H. All right, we got 2 minutes, Justin, really quick. AEW going to the UK end of August, Wembley Stadium. Your quick thoughts on that?
That's a big deal. Congrats to them. Congrats to the people in London, the fans. They're going to get Money in the Bank July 1, and then 6 weeks later, they're going to get this show. So that's a big deal for AEW. Good for them. It makes me now really, you know, they have Double or Nothing, you know, then they have their Forbidden Door show in June. Double or Nothing's May, Forbidden Door June. So, I mean, they have some big shows prior to that they got to, you know, fill a card out for. So I'm really curious to see what main event, what attractions, what, aside just from the novelty of them being there, which will move tickets on, but you still need some names. You still need some other thing. I'll be curious what it is they go with, who they go with to be in the top main and semi-main of that show. Obviously, you have, you know, some no-brainers like Soraya to perform and Jamie Hayter, who are from the country, but what's going to be in the marquee for the what's going to end the night and send the people home happy. But good for them. It's a big deal.
You had the pencil. What would you do?
I would go something like, I would really build up, continue with MJF, and I would really build up Adam Cole, and I'd work towards an Adam Cole, make Adam Cole seem like the most credible threat to take the title from MJF.
Adam Cole over MJ versus MJF, or Kenny Omega versus MJF in the UK?
I think Adam Cole's got more, even more charisma. It's not a knock on Kenny, but if you make me choose between the two, I'm more of an Adam Cole guy.
And you know what? Your secondary match could be just what Justin said, Saraya against Jamie Hayter for the AEW Women's Championship. That would be big out there. 30 seconds, Justin. Quick number you think they'll get on that date in the UK?
Attendance-wise?
Yes.
I can see him getting at least 30.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.